Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. Listen again for God's word to you. While Jesus' friends were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." But when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." May God bless to our understanding these readings from God's word. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As strange as it may sound, festival days in the church, days like Christmas and Easter, can be miserable days for some. Periods of celebration for some people almost always are times of depression for others. The more folks laugh, the louder other people weep. Time set aside for rejoicing can sometimes be terribly troubling to some. That was true for the first disciples of Jesus. The ancient biblical narratives about the resurrection of Jesus contain a mixture of ecstasy and despondency, an intermingling of delight and discouragement. Just as news of Christ's resurrection caused an explosion of joy among some believers, other believers experienced an erosion of hope. Luke tells us that on the very day of the resurrection, as word of Christ's presence swept through Jerusalem, two downcast disciples of Jesus headed towards Emmaus to forget the whole matter. Easter came, and some folks missed it. It happened in Jerusalem, and it can also happen where we live. In fact, it happens every year. Christ arose, and not even all of his former followers realized his presence. Some people always miss Easter. What about you? For whatever reason, did you miss Easter this year? Now, I'm not asking if you were present in or absent from a service of corporate worship on Easter Sunday. My concern is your experience of the resurrection. For we do not have to be out of church on Easter Sunday to miss Easter, just as people did not have to be out of Jerusalem to miss the risen Christ. Maybe you were in worship and you saw the joy around you, but you did not sense any joy within you. Perhaps you heard alleluias resound in a sanctuary, but realized they found no resonance in your heart. Maybe you listened to the reading of the resurrection story, but failed to find its meaning for your life. Maybe you even slept through the sermon. Yes, it happens. Even on Easter. Some of us may identify with Nikos Kazantzakis' character who exclaimed, "God forgive me, this year I have not felt Christ rise." And so this sermon is for those of you who missed Easter this year for whatever reason, 2 weeks ago. If that sermonic intention leaves you out, if you caught the joy and felt your spirit swept along with it, that's great. You are richly blessed. Act upon what you know. But if you missed Easter this year, stay tuned. Because Christ understands. If you missed Easter, Christ understands. The Gospels of the New Testament do not demand that we understand Christ. Rather, they offer us the burden-lightening insight that Christ understands us. We do not have to understand Easter to experience Easter. In fact, Christ's capacity for understanding defies our comprehension. This one who inspires magnificent visions also ministers amid shattered dreams. This one known as the Prince of Peace does not shy away from chaos and conflict. This one who taught us to pray accepts people who are so troubled that they can't pray. This one who offers salvation identifies with people confounded by feelings of lostness. This one who gives unmatched encouragement knows better than any other the depths of discouragement. And so if you did not sense the joy of Easter morning, if you have not felt Christ rise, if you cannot shout Alleluia, that does not mean that you must drop your head and take off towards Emmaus or some other place and simply give up. Christ understands. He understands you, and so he appears. The presence of Christ among us does not depend upon the quality of our understanding of Christ or even upon the nature of our reception of his presence. Christ appears in the midst of people not even looking for him. The 24th chapter of Luke's gospel just cannot seem to get enough of the resurrection. In the course of 49 verses, three Easter stories are told. The first is a riveting account of the resurrection itself. That story is followed by a description of an encounter of two friends of Jesus on the road to the little village of Emmaus. After the terrible events in Jerusalem, the trial and suffering and death of Jesus, their beloved, they were taking their sadness back home with them. And as they walked, a stranger appeared beside them. He spoke to them of the scriptures, and as they came near the village, he accepted their invitation to come and stay with them. As they were sitting at table having dinner, the stranger took a piece of bread and said a blessing, and he broke it, and in that breaking of the bread, the scales fell off his friend's eyes, and they realized that the one who was with them at the table was none other than the risen Lord. The two friends dashed back to Jerusalem, found the disciples and their companions, and told them what had happened. And as they were talking about these very things, Jesus came and stood among them. In the midst of their conversation about the resurrection, he appears. He has not knocked on the door, no one has let him in, and yet there he was, surprisingly, unexpectedly, in their midst. What in the world does that mean? Well, I would suggest it means at least this, that there is no way to keep the risen Christ out of any situation. There is no hopeless heart. There is no barren relationship. There is no bruised or hurting place that is off limits to the resurrected Christ. As the poet John Donne put it so beautifully long ago, all occasions invite his mercies. And all times are his seasons. That is what these post-resurrection stories want to tell us. Bidden or unbidden, the Spirit of the living Christ is loose in the world and will come to us wherever we are. That is a very good thought to hold on to if you missed Easter this year. when God may have seemed far away and the shadows ran deep. Jesus appeared to a woman who attended to anoint his dead body. She did not have the slightest suspicion that Jesus might be alive. Jesus appeared to two despondent travelers worn out because of their grief. And grief will indeed wear you out. They were not looking for Jesus, only trying to pick up the pieces of a shattered faith and carry on without him. So unexpected of the resurrection were the disciples of Jesus that when Jesus walked into their midst, some thought he was a ghost and others refused to believe what they saw. None of the resurrection appearances of Jesus were marked by dramatic settings or regal greetings. Jesus was mistaken for a gardener. He showed up on a dusty road. He walked along a shoreline watching his disciples fish. Notice the common sights of Jesus' appearance and the ordinary routines which he blessed with his presence. We do not have to tour an empty tomb in a garden in Jerusalem to know the reality of Easter. Even if we could not sing alleluias on Easter Sunday, this hour we can know the one who inspired them. Christ comes to our world, to us, at meal times, at fun times, amid our work, in the face of our worries. He comes to people of faith and individuals plagued by doubts. He comes to hospital rooms and offices, bedrooms, clinics, and sanctuaries. And so if you missed Easter, please know that Christ understands and still appears. Moreover, Christ interprets us. The Bible bears witness to a consistent correlation between meeting Christ and achieving a measure of self-understanding. It certainly happened that day on the road to Emmaus. The risen Christ who comes to us, understands us, and interprets us so we can better understand ourselves. Christ helps us understand the pain of rebellion against God in relation to the joy of obedience to God. The drain of despair in relation to the exhilaration of hope, the grief of anxiety in relation to the peace of assurance. Christ challenges us when we need challenging, warns us when we need warning, affirms us when we need affirming, loves us when we need loving, corrects us when we need correcting, and directs us when we need directing. Christ will take us where we are, show us where we ought to be, and assist us in getting there. So if you missed Easter, please don't miss this truth about the risen Christ. Allow him to lead you to better self-understanding. Oh, and there's one more truth here. Christ commissions us. Jesus commissioned to ministry every person to whom he appeared as the risen Christ. Communion with Christ and commission with Christ are inseparable. Sharing the gospel and caring for people are non-negotiables for persons who have found or have been found by the Easter experience. All must hear the commission of Christ, both those looking for something to do and those who seem too busy to do anything else. It is in faithfulness to the commission of Christ that we discover the real fullness of communion with Christ. To find the resurrected Lord, we must look among the homeless, the bereaved, the suffering, the abused, and the hungry, right where he told us he would be. Christ is found where the unlovable are loved and the grieving are comforted, where the bread and the cup are passed and consumed. In his delightful book, Open Secrets, Richard Lisher, who teaches at Duke Divinity School, tells about his experiences as a newly ordained Lutheran pastor in a country church in southern Illinois, including Buster Tolan's funeral. Buster was a mechanic at the local garage. His wife, Beulah, drank too much and was high on drugs most of the time. They argued loudly and profanely and bitterly, and in the middle of a huge shouting match, when he came home from lunch, and there was no lunch, Buster dropped dead. Dead before he hit the floor, Beulah said, at least 100 times to anyone who would listen. Buster, we soon learned, was a rascal, and his death made the whole community feel apprehensive and worried about his utterly dysfunctional family. Pastor Richard helped Beulah through the local funeral plans and negotiations with the funeral director, which were all very difficult. Beulah kept insisting on the most expensive casket and arrangements because she owed it to Buster, she said. The idealistic young minister managed to alienate the funeral director and infuriate his board of trustees in the process. Finally, the day of the funeral arrived, complete with the open casket in the narthex of the church. The service itself was a complete disaster. Beulah wailed at the top of her lungs through the service and Lisher's sermon that day. He concluded quickly by reminding the congregation that Buster had been a good Marine and father, and now the church would be called to assume greater responsibility for the care of his family. And then the congregation moved to the little cemetery on the hill behind the church. The casket was lowered into the grave. Lisher said the words of committal, and it was over, and the military phase was about to begin. 4 uniformed veterans from the local VFW formed an honor guard and fired their rifles on command 3 times over the heads of the congregation. There was even a bugler for the occasion, 12-year-old Mariah Siemens, standing halfway up the hill in a pink jumper and a thin white sweater draped over her shoulders. Her new coronet caught the sunlight, and she was about to give the performance of her life. Her mother stood beside her to hold her music and to steady her child, a doe and a fawn in the silence of a spring afternoon. Then Mariah began to play. To everyone's surprise, she didn't play taps. She played 4 stanzas of "I Know That My Redeemer Liveth," arcing each note across the ravine towards the mourners on the hill. It was, Lisher says, as if her music was a time-delayed message coming to us from a saner and more beautiful world. Standing in the lumpy mud of that cemetery, Lisher said, after that disastrous funeral, he could finally see Easter. And so, if for whatever reason you missed Easter 2 weeks ago, the good news is you can experience it today. Because Easter happens, writes Lisher, whenever the ordinary becomes holy, when everyday experiences become sacred, at the unlikeliest of moments, the risen Christ appears. Maybe only now, 2 weeks after Easter, we're ready to move from a grinding despair or a numbing loneliness to see the staggering power and to hear the inviting call of the risen Christ. That's okay, because even if we missed Easter, now we can say with so many others who have gone before us, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.